What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or JAC. I am Jack Allen coming at you with a last-minute show guest, John Brisham from We've Read the Documents. That's my Alex Jones impression that I am required to do anytime I have John on. Please go follow John at Weave_Red. And then also, if you want to support Kojak, I got a Venmo and Patreon at Conspiracy or JAC. And I'll probably have to change those at some point because I'm trying to make it all uniformed and trying to recover since I was booted off Twitter. But today we talk about Alexander Dugin, Putin, crypto. I'm trying to think what else we talked about. A few other things, but Dugin was the big topic. He's been all in the news. I know he's like a political theorist. And John explains all about him. I had some preconceived, incorrect notions about Alexander Dugin. So John helped clear those up. As always, the man knows everything about anybody, and I'm honored to have him on the show. So again, go support John at Weave_Red, and he's on YouTube, We've Read the Documents. And if you want to support my show, Venmo, Patreon, go follow me at Kojak Podcast. I am on Twitter and Instagram, pretty active. I post all the time, so you can go follow me there. Thanks for listening, guys. I got another show tomorrow with Matt from the Great Deception podcast. Matt is an awesome dude. It's a big week of shows, so I hope you guys have some spare time to catch a few of them. And that's it. All right, guys, I'm Jack Allen, Conspiracy or JAC. Thanks for following. Thanks for listening. God bless, and I love you all. Peace. All right, what is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. Today, I have a lifesaver, a man that I'm pretty sure, I can't say this is 100% fact, has a photographic memory, or at least pretty close to one, my friend John from We've Read the Documents. John, thank you for coming on the show, dude.
I'm glad to be here, Jack, as always. Thank you for having me on Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. We are cat dads after all, so we're part of the cat daddy crew. Odd Man's part of that as well. So
it's a good group.
So is Conspiracy Kyle.
Yep.
Conspiracy and so the first
I,
cat dad.
I think
too.
I saw a meme. Yeah. It was like you either have to vape or have cats to be a podcaster. And I think that's pretty close to true. You know,
I don't vape, so yeah. I have cats.
So there you go, dude. There you go. But thanks for doing this, John, because I know it was last minute. And I'm bringing this up because so on Twitter, I think you posted something about Dugin, and I've seen stuff about Dugin. So I guess explain, because, you know, the little I know of him, he seems to be like an accelerationist. And so please, like, educate me on what this guy believes, because he clearly is having a lot of effect on what's going on in Russia right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I've came across Dugin many years ago. I used to watch Alex Jones more often than I did, especially during, 2016 election, where I fell back in watching Alex Jones. Well, before then, I thought Alex Jones was a snake, obviously, and in on it, but I couldn't tell to what degree because he wouldn't mention Israel.
Right.
I brought back in with the Trump madness that, you know, so I started listening to him again, and Alexander Dugin showed up on InfoWars.
He was on InfoWars?
Yes, he was. Yes.
No way.
And so I was like, oh, who's this guy? You know, so he comes in there and he's like, you know, and I fell for the lie. You know, I thought Putin was a good man. You know, I fell for that. You know, Russia was more free. You know, RT, you know, talked about the truth of 9/11 or the so-called truth of 9/11, you know, and so, yeah, I fell for it, Jeff Rentz. I used to listen to Jeff Rentz for a long time. And he used to, have people on like CNP Joel Skousen. And Joel was actually against Russia, interestingly enough. But most people that were on there were very much pro-Russian, pro-Dugin, you know. So, you know, I fell for that lie, you know. So I would, Dugin, when you listen to him, you know, when you listen to him, he's talking a lot about things that you would kind of kind of say go along with like traditional conservatism, right? Because he talks about traditionalism. You know, traditionalism isn't really what you think it is either, as far as like traditions, you know, like the traditions of our forefathers, or like conservative beliefs, you know, or Christian, you know, mainly Christian beliefs, you know, rooted in the Ten Commandments, rooted in the commandments that Jesus Christ had given us, you know, love God with all your heart and have faith and trust in him and love your neighbor as yourself, you know, right? So that's kind of like what you would say that modern Western civilization's been built upon. And so, you know, when he's talking about this stuff, he's talking about the ilks of liberalism and the ilks of kind of like they call it like the sea powers, kind of like he has a kind of this Atlantean, kind of almost like Atlantean Lumerian dichotomy going on with the sea powers versus the land powers type aspect, you know, in Russia representing of tradition and modernity. So they're kind of like a land power, and, you know, kind of the West is more of like your Atlantic seafaring power, more liberal ideas, libertine type aspects, you know, more individualism, where the Russian ideal is more of a collective. So it's kind of like those, again, it's a kind of like polarity, and you see that a lot in Freemasonry and Mystery Babylon. You know, Satan likes to bring those, you know, polarity aspects up, right? Likes to boil it down to those, you know, you get that with modern day, you know, rah-rah go team, right? So it's currently right now, it's, oh, if you don't support Zelensky, you support Putin, or if you don't support Putin, you support Zelensky. And it's like, well, no, they're both evil, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, so it's, or if, you know, oh, like when they ask me, they're like, you don't like Biden? No. Oh, you must like Trump? No. So it's kind of how it is. So Dugin kind of acts like he, you know, like when you listen to him, and you yourself, you know, you talked about on Twitter, and it was the same with me, you know, like listening to him, you're kind of like, well, yeah, there's some things he says I kind of agree with, you know, like, yeah, there is an issue of, you know, what we look at as like libertinism, you know, do it thou wilt, you know, that's a problem in the West, but it's a problem in Russia too. It's a problem. The Bible teaches us it's a worldwide problem, you know, and so, kind of, you know, if you look behind, if you study who Dugin is, where he came from, what he stands for, if you really start reading a lot of his works, then you start really understanding that he's a silver fork-tongued devil embodiment of the spirit of Antichrist. All right, like,
damn, now like, that's a criticism.
He might say certain things that it's like Tucker Carlson, you know, they kind of like dog. I always talk about on my show, a lot of these people, they dog whistle to conservatives, right? They're like, you know, whistling like, here, boy, you know, here, boy. And you're like, oh, okay. So they say certain stuff and you're like, well, yeah. And then they either don't follow through and they stop, or then they say something that isn't true. And then you're like, well, wait, what? You know, so that's, I mean, it's like Alex Jones, you know, Alex Jones still to this day still tells truths, some truths about the globalists, right? But it's not what he doesn't talk about the CMP or La Cercle. You know, he doesn't talk about the other wing of the eagle. You know, he only says, look at this side, don't look at this side, you know. So it's kind of like, well, okay. So that's how you're going to frame it, right? You're going to, so Dugin, like, you know, so us being more on the conservative, you know, us believing more, you know, being Christians, Dugin claims he's an old one, which is kind of like this old Russian Orthodox. It's not true.
Okay.
And so he kind of like he tries to frame it specifically to white Christian males. Okay, from what I've seen, it kind of like how he wants to frame stuff. And so he kind of wants to tell people what they want to hear, like a snake, you know, like Donald Trump could be. I mean, Donald Trump would read the snake poem, right? And say, well, I'm just reading it because it's about illegal immigration. But in reality, no, it's not. It's about Donald Trump being a snake, you know. And so I'm pretty sure you've heard the snake poem, right?
I actually just heard it. I think it was from you, like our show two times ago. And then I pulled it up. But for anyone, it's a poem about a snake, right? And he said it was
a woman letting a snake in, you know, snake's injured, she heals the snake back, snake bites her and kills her, or her, you know, she's dying, you know, from the poison, and she's like, why did you do that? I got you well and I protected you and everything. And he's like, what do you think, I'm a snake, you know?
It's just the scorpion and the frog story,
same thing. It's just retelling of that.
Okay.
You know. So Dugin, you could look at him the same way as you can look at all these people, where look, I mean, as us being conservatives, and some people maybe who is liberal maybe would not necessarily agree with this completely, but I mean, who doesn't like, you know, nuclear families and tradition and you know, a husband and a wife and you know, good Christian morality, you know?
Dave, like, Rubin doesn't like that.
Well, of course he doesn't. I mean, he's a homosexual male who... That's the best conservatism has to offer, right?
It's
him having adopting kids, you know, that's the best. And you have, you know, you CMP PragerU, you know, good old Zionist Dave Prager and PragerU congratulating him on that. Good job, Dave. Good job. And it's like, wait, what? Don't you think marriage is between a man and a woman? Like, I'm confused about this because biblically that's what it is. And I'm a little confused, but whatever. So, but yeah, you saw that. I'm pretty sure the outrage on Twitter, which was justifiable. I mean, even I'm agreeing with Mark Dice more and more these days. What's up with me? What's going on? Like, I know Mark Dice ain't our guy, but I mean, like, what's happening here? You know, like, more and more he's going after Elon Musk. He's going after PragerU and the false conservatives. I mean, if he starts mentioning the CMP, I'm gonna fall out of my chair. All right. So, you know, so, but I guess to go back to Dugan is a lot of my way is, look, Dugan was part of was a head of Russian National Bolshevik Party. Okay, like he I've covered on my channel. You can watch the videos I did with S90. We're gonna do a third video on Dugan. He there's a video where he's really reading a poem about his admiration for Aleister Crowley. All right, these, you know, naked Russian dudes, half naked Russian dudes are like spinning on like these spinning circles that are have like fireworks attached to them, like sparklers, and they're being crucified on crosses. You know, that spin. It's like the weirdest, occultest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, and most people be like, well, Dugan just tried to be a tryhard. And I'm like, have you ever listened to the man talk? Like, have you ever read, like, the man?
I don't know
like
what you're
not...
trying with that. That's a
he's
very odd.
He's talking, but like, well, you know, he's talking when he talks, speaks out of both sides of his mouth. You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, so like he'll tell you one thing, but in reality, he's there's something he's holding back. You know, and so he used to idolize true Nazism. You know, I'm not trying to be like everybody's Hitler and everybody's a Nazi that the like left likes to push, but you know, he did, you know, I mean, he did idolize Nazism. He idolized, which is weird because he also idolized Bolshevikism. So it's like,
well, that's very confusing.
He goes back and forth about it, you know. But however, I will say in his most recent book, The Great Awakening versus The Great Reset, or The Great Reset versus The Great Awakening, might have inverse the title, which is very interesting, you know, from us looking at it from a prophetic Christian standpoint. You know, it does seem like the Great Reset is leading to the false Great Awakening. Okay. So Dugan talks about in that book about his love of Bolshevikism and his hatred for Protestantism. And he discusses his love for Xi Jinping and how Xi Jinping is fighting the world order. And so is Erdogan of Turkey, you know. So, Russia's, you know, major tied in with China, Belt and Road Initiative, you know, One Belt, One Road. So it shouldn't caught anybody by surprise there that Dugan is completely a stand for Xi Jinping in communist China. And he has a love for communism. I mean, he has a love for Bolshevikism. I mean, he discusses on multiple occasions, you know, and he doesn't do this when he talks to the white Christian male audience. You know,
okay.
Like to them, he's all like, tradition and Christian values, and like, I mean, he sounds like most of your conservative con jobs, but he's just, you know, how they put on their suits. And you know, Ted Cruz is talking about all this stuff, but Ted Cruz doesn't believe or follow any of that stuff.
No.
You know, so it's the same with Dugan, is that, you know, Dugan puts on a suit depending on who he's talking to. All right. And so, you know, when he's talking in front of, you know, people like you and I, you know, he'll say all this stuff, but in reality, in the back, he's like, well, I like the Bolsheviks and I hate the white Christian czars. And I believe that, you know, Russia is a Eurasian country. Well, it's more Asian than it is Europe or European. So, you know, secretly he really hates white people and he hates Christian white people above all. Okay. So, you know, he looks at us as kind of being, you know, you and I, as being, even though, cause we are white, and because we're Christian, we're automatically thrown into the Atlantean Sea Empire, you know, libertine camp, right? Because that's just who we are, and we don't know any better, Gordon, than, you know. And he literally, I remember in one podcast, and I covered this on my channel, he literally blames, he's like blaming like Pizzagate and like all the corruption of the elite, just like everything, on white males in their basement. And I'm like, dude, look, like, okay, first of all, how in the world is a Russian man, okay, going to blame American basement dweller, you know, teenage boys, okay, that the stuff that was happening during Pizzagate, and I won't say much more. I hope this doesn't get you a strike, you know, because Alphonsus has been on the warpath. It is their fault, okay? It's like how, what? It's like, dude, like, look, I get it. Like, men should be men, you know, and we should actually, you know, as Christians, we're called to call out, you know, the principalities of darkness and expose the deeds of evil deeds that are done in the dark, you know, bring it to light, you know. Mm-hmm. But to sit here and be like, well, a 16-year-old in their basement playing Destiny 2, it's their problem. There's elite institutionalized pedophilia throughout the world.
Yeah, that makes
it's
no
just
sense.
Insanity to me.
Right. Yeah, that makes no
so,
sense.
So, I mean, that's who Dugin really truly is. And they try to do the campaign of white man come home. This used to be really big in the white nationalist circles. You know, white man, come home to Mother Russia. Come home to Mother Russia. And it was like, okay, like, don't go back to the country of your ancestry. I mean, I'm French and Scottish, right? So don't go back to Scotland. Don't go back to France. Come to Russia. But then once you get to Russia, oh, let's push you into kind of CIA, you know, world order funded, you know, like the, you know, like the order, you know, like white nationalist like type groups, right? You know, let's radicalize you and push you into these type of things. And it's like, oh, okay, so that's what this whole thing is. You know, it's just to entrap us, you know, it's I don't see how anybody could ever. Once you start really digging into Dugin and you start really getting down to the bottom of what he's saying, I mean, behind the mask, once you, you know, the facade of, you know, Dugin drops away, because he is, in my opinion, just as much as you could say Rasputin was the traitor to the czars, okay, Dugin is known as Putin's Rasputin. Wow. So that's what he's known as, and he's known as a major political advisor to Dugin. Now a lot of people will play that down. However, you know, Dugin comes out and gives a speech, you know, about the Ukrainian invasion, right? And he's like, "I told y'all, I told you it was going to happen, and this is how it's going to happen." And you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, but he's pretty much like, you know, me and my friend Jesse Spots were talking about this earlier, you know, and hats off to Jesse. He's been exposing Dugin for years, you know, and he's just sitting there. He's like, We got nukes, you know, but Putin's got nukes. He sure's got nukes, you guys, you know, and it's like, oh, that's what this is. And then he goes, you know, well, I sat down with Zbigniew Brzezinski, and he's like, you know, move the chess pieces, you know, and a lot of people say I took that clip out of context. And I mean, look, Dugin goes and meets with Zbigniew Brzezinski. He flies from Russia to D.C., okay, to meet with Zbigniew right before Zbigniew passes away, all right?
Okay.
And does this massive photo op and all that. And then now some people will say, well, Zbigniew was for American Eurasianism, and Dugin, he's for, you know, Russian, you know, Eurasianism, you know, and there's a difference between the two. And it's like, oh, so there isn't one world order, okay? Because remember, Dugin wants a multipolar world, okay? So that's where you have a world of different countries jockeying for power, okay? Okay. Where right now, we live in a unipolar world, or at least the facade of a unipolar world, and we have for a long time, where you've always had one dominant country. You know, before the United States, it was Britain. You know, the world reserve currency, as you well know, Jack, was the British pound, you know, and now it's the United States petrodollar, okay? So United, and so there are some benefits as American citizens. We can't sit here and say that there's not, and I'm not going to say that I'm completely ecstatic about it, because it is off the blood and sweat of other people throughout the globe, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, you do have to have some, you know, some acknowledgement, you know? I mean, it's kind of like a thing. You can acknowledge it, and you feel bad about it. You can try to do things to kind of go against it, but you never could have completely... It's nothing we can completely escape. So there is some benefit for us being number one. There is a benefit for America to be the world's police, for us to have the world's reserve currency. Okay. I'm not excusing all the horrific things that America's done and the world elite have done for the appearance of America to be the top dog. Okay. I'm not saying that at all, but as Americans, we do have to realize that there does come with a certain amount of privilege that I would say that most Americans probably would not want to give up to live in a multipolar world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Americans are sitting here being, I mean, you can even ask the ones who, you know, are in our circle, our group, you know, of conspiracy researchers, you know, it'd be like, you know, do you want to live in a multipolar world where countries are jockeying for power and the United States gets its comeuppance? Or would you rather, you know, us, the world still be led by the United States? Most people, if they really honestly, you know, reflect upon themselves and they live in the United States, they're going to push for the United States unipolar world. Okay?
Right.
Absolutely. Because you benefit out of it. All right. Yeah. Let's be real. We're selfish, greedy, fallen creatures. Okay. And I'm not saying it's the best outcome, but as Christians, we know that the world doesn't get better until Christ comes. It gets worse. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. And it doesn't stop us from calling it out either. You and I are not going to stop calling out the corruption of our own country and the hope that things do improve, you know, but it's just, it's kind of like you have to think of these multiple positions in your head and kind of juggle them. And it can be quite difficult, you know, because I, you know, I'm not saying that we don't bring the sins of our, you know, of the elite of our country to light. We do, but we still have to realize that even in doing so, it does weaken the position of the United States too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So it's a means to an end. I hate to put it that way, but that's what it is, you know? So, I mean, Dugan, and then Dugan, just like me and Jesse were talking about, he just has a lot of buzzwords. He just says a lot of stuff. And, you know, he talks about, you know, multipolar world and unipolar world, right? You know, constantly. And
does he focus like on a Russian superiority kind of angle?
Yes. Even though he claims about a multipolar world, he really wants Russia to be superior to unipolar world that Russia controls. I mean, it's obvious.
Because this kind of sounds like, it's not the same, obviously, but it sounds like a Fomenko-esque backstory.
Yeah.
You know what I, and if anyone doesn't, Fomenko's
New Chronology, which is very Russian heavy.
Yes. You know? Fomenko wrote all the Tartaria books, or one of the first people. But I've read a few of them, and they're all like, pro-Russian, Russians did that. That was their empire. It was their technology, their buildings, and it was the Romanovs who brought it down, and they all worked together to bring down this Russian-centric global empire. So it just sounds kind of similar, especially this Dugan talks about like Atlantis and things like, it sounds like eerily similar to Fomenko's work.
Yeah, and I think there's a tie-in with that too as well. I think the Tartaria. And I've had Wade McCroy on to discuss how we both believe that the Tartaria narrative is satanic, just like the Atlantean narrative, and it's complete hogwash. You know, I don't believe in it at all. And I think it's pushed to kind of give Russia the superiority aspect that they were once a technologically advanced civilization. I mean, it's the same stuff that's told by the, you know, by the Atlanteans, Lemuria. You know, it's the same lie. This is just gussied up for modern times, you know. And it's very new age, you know, and you can say it has its roots going back to Mystery Babylon. And you know, so every year, you know, Hyperborea, you know, how you have Hyperborea for Theosophy, you know. So I mean, it's just retold again and again and again, you know. Yeah. And it goes against the biblical narrative, you know, it really does. And I completely reject it now. I used to flirt with Tartaria many years ago when I was a Gnostic, but now it's completely bullcrap. I'm actually questioning the government really has technology so far. It's either they do have technology that's 50 or 60 years in advance, or they really don't. Their technology is only a handful of years in advance, which Christopher Knowles, though I am not a fan of Chris so much, I will say that I think he is accurate with Lucifer's technologies in that regard. I have to agree with him. And I do believe that it is quite possible that the government's technology is only at most 5 to 10 years advanced at that. And there's been diminishing returns since they kind of gotten the fallen angel technology from the Babylon working ritual with Parsons and Hubbard.
Wow. So you're, yeah. I don't know if I've listened to him. I follow him on Twitter. So is that his theory that Babylon working ritual is what brought
Somewhat, yes. Other people have talked about it too.
Okay. So that's interesting though, because you're right. Like that thinking about the technology, I used to always say, after reading a Jim Mars's books and stuff, you hear like this technology that's so far advanced and it's easy to believe that. But then the further I get, like now, like, so if they have this, if they're 50 years ahead, I mean, there would be no dissent. There would be no dissidents. It's just hard to fathom that much power. It would be able to change the world. Like if they could implement a total control, they would do that in a heartbeat. Like there would be no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like why would they wait 50 years to, if you have a sure win, you're not going to say, well, let's hold off. You know, let's see what happens. And if we have to, we'll use it. You know, like you would go for the kill shot immediately, in my opinion. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I do think in some aspects they do have advanced technology. Like it's weird. Like there's some things that I believe that they do possibly have. I do think that they I think it's certain. Okay. So the way I look at it is there is probably technology that's advanced that they don't tell us about. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I do believe, you know, cloning exists to some degree. Okay. But at the same time, do I believe nuclear bombs are the way that they say they are either, you know? Well, I'm not so sure, you know, because they're always, you know, trying to scare us. Like it's a sort of Damocles that could wipe out all civilization. Right. And I'm like, really? I mean, I'm not going to go as far as to say that, you know, some people will take it to the extreme and they'll be like, well, there are no issues with, you know, nuclear radiation and it's perfectly safe. And I'm like, no, I don't think it's, no, that's silly, you know. But, you know, I think it depends on the technology, I guess, to further kind of refine what I'm trying to say.
So you're telling me they don't have teleportation technology that's sending Corey Good into the base of Mars?
No, I don't think they've ever. Actually, I don't think they've
ever.
Well,
that's not what he says, John. So I don't know.
I don't ever think they've ever broken the Van Allen radiation belt or the firmament. I can call it by many different names. So that's a whole other discussion too, you know. but we'll get talked about conspiracy theories in that part. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess in closing, closing with Dugan, you know, one last thing Jesse and I mentioned too is Dugan's obsession with geopolitics. And you could say it's the same obsession that people have that stand Dugan, like Alex Jones or Jay Dyer. Jay Dyer talks about geopolitics a lot.
Yes.
And Jay Dyer's interviewed Dugan multiple times. And when I asked Jay, I said, hey, you know, you kind of, you know, platform boosted Dugan to the world, you know, and you know what he stands for now. Right. So but you kind of want to walk that back, you know, maybe interview him another time and really stick it to him. And Jay's response was well, why is it my job? And it's like, well, why is it your job? You know, it's like, you had him on a few times. You praise him how great he was, and then well, what do you mean? Why is it your job?
Damn,
you
know? I had no idea he had him on his show.
Mm-hmm. There's at least two, possibly maybe three, at least two interviews of Dugan and Dyer together. And so you know, there's just this obsession with just geopolitics, but in a way so that you can't really have a discussion between nationalism versus Bolshevikism, as Jesse and I talked about. And, you know, Jesse brought up that point, and he's right, because, you know, Dugan appears on paper to fight for traditionalism and nationalism, right? But he's a Bolshevik. Those are supposed to be polarity ideologies. Right. Of communism, Bolshevism, and National Socialism.
Yes.
But are they, you know? So it's like, it's very, with Dugan, things aren't as always easy as you think they are on the surface. You know, he's a very complex man, and he's definitely not our guy. and I really don't know, because you know, Dugan and what's his name? Bannon. Dugan and CMP Stephen K. Bannon, they kind of had like this friendly relationship with each other, you know, and
yeah.
They both had the same theosophical, you know, you know, loves, like Julius Evola, you know, and so they kind of like, you know, these traditionalists, these, you know, theosophists, these mystery Babylon type people, you know, whatever you want to call them. And so they kind of had like these esoteric love of these certain people. They felt the common, belief in them. And so now, however, at least I don't know if it's kayfabe, you know, using a wrestling term or not. I don't know if it's all the world's a stage.
What's that word? Kayfabe?
Something's fake in wrestling, you know, they're trying to act like it's real.
Okay.
So, you know, now Bannon hates Dugan because he thinks that Dugan's completely in bed with the Chinese, completely in bed with Xi Jinping, which he is. And Bannon seems like he's anti Xi Jinping and anti-China and everything. So there's that aspect of that kind of feud that's going on. And then on top of that, I was talking to Jesse about this. We need to check back in with Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is very much anti, you know, communism, at least on paper, right. Even though I think he's a Fabian socialist, anti, you know, the Communist Chinese Party, anti Xi Jinping,
the dry comps,
but he's pro Putin and pro Russia, but Russia is allied with China. So if it's all the Chi Coms and the Chi Coms were involved with the Epstein nexus and murder Jeffrey Epstein, according to Alex Jones, which is one of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to say. He's kind of batting himself into a corner.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't even know if he's addressing it recently.
I watched zero Alex Jones except for the short clips that I see on the, but it's just weird that this, it all. So what's your take on this? So you've gotten to Oddman and I, we did a show on this, but do you think that my personal opinion, it's all like a fake fight, like Russia and it's all controlled by these same bankers, like these globalist people. And I just like how I always bring up the example, Edward Harriman was the whatever, like attaché or trade guy going to Soviets. He was funneling them money, giving them technology. Then he'd come back to America and be like, the Soviets are building. We got to ramp up our military because they're building, even though they're giving them the money, you know? So, and just like how Wall Street funded the Bolsheviks, like, is this just WWE, this fight between America and the rest of the world? Is it just distraction or whatever, just excuse to make money?
I have no idea. I mean, I would assume so, as most things are planned, right? It depends. I mean, I would say to some degree, it would appear that way with the propaganda that's on all sides. I mean, right now, if you're looking at the American propaganda, Putin's going to be overthrown by the Russian citizens any day now for messing up the war. You know, I mean, but then again, if you're listening to Russia, they've surrounded Kiev and Zelensky's about to die if he doesn't surrender or concede. So which one is it? It's almost like Schrodinger's World War III, you know, where it's who knows, you know, without looking, without truly being there or being a fly on the wall of the talks of the elite who, you know, who knows who's right, you know, who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
I guess to circle back with Dugan real quick to talk about that is everybody's talking about, this is what they just got talking about too, is everybody's talking about, you know, Zelensky is they're going to kill him or even they're talking about Putin, you know, they're talking about assassins killing Putin, you know. Dugan just sits down given this interview and he's not wearing like a bulletproof vest or it's just like you and I talking. You know, and so we're in the middle of World War III, and if Dugan is, you know, told as by the West, and I believe this to be true, well, I do think he has, you know, some people will say he doesn't have as much political power as I think he does, but I think he does. I have quite a bit. You know, they'll sit down and be like, you know, why does he just seem like he's not doing any defensive measures to protect himself? Like they're making it seem like he is the dude behind Putin. He is the dude puppeting Putin. And it's like he's just strolling in, you know, like Zelensky, every time you see videos of him, he's at least as the actor putting on some sort of like, you know, body armor, right? You know, when he's doing his TikTok videos, you know. Yes. So he's just an impression that things are going down, you know. And then, you know, Dugan gets on there and he just starts talking about geopolitics and everything. And again, you know, geopolitics, you take away because you think of the world, right? World politics, geopolitics, right? But then you take away, as you know, Jesse, I guess one last thing we're talking about, you take away like the, any speak of like a nation or nationalism or anything like that, right? Because then you're thinking of the world, even from Dugan's point of view, even if it's multi versus unipolar world, you're still thinking it from a globalist perspective. You're not thinking of it from an individual local community perspective, you know? So I don't know. Like, I mean, again, Dugan just gets up there and gives a press conference, yeah. You know, it's like, what? You know, like, you know, and he gets out there, he lays it all out. He's like, well, you know, I'm moving the chess pieces for Brzezinski, but, you know, and I'm paraphrasing there, you know, and some people might say I might take in a little bit of liberties of what he's saying. But in my opinion, what he's saying is, well, Brzezinski's dead. I'm moving the pieces. He told me to move the pieces of the grand chessboard. And all of a sudden, Putin comes over and he's like, let's have a friendly game, Dugan. Let's move the chess pieces together. So, I mean, could that be WWE? I don't know. Can't talk about the biolabs. That's Russian Kremlin propaganda, GRU propaganda, you know?
Really?
So, yeah, anytime you bring up the biolabs in Ukraine, where'd you learn that from? Russia Today? You know, I mean, yeah. it's like, what? You know, and so, I mean, the way I look at it is, the elites of Ukraine are at fault. Putin and his elite and Russian oligarchs are at fault, whether it's the Russian Jewish oligarchs or the mountain Jewish oligarchs or the Russian oligarchs. All these people are at a fault and they're using the world, the citizens of the world, okay, as just their fodder as they always have. Like, right. We were taught that all wars are banksters' wars. Is this war no different? You know? Mm-hmm. So people, like, they want you to choose a team. They want you to choose red team or they want you to choose blue team. And I just...
Well, the first time I heard about Dugan was listening to, I think Richard Spencer was on the Kill Stream.
Which his wife, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I have to say this. His wife used to translate Dugan's works.
No way.
Yes, his Russian wife. I forgot her name. Maybe someone.
I know he was married to a Russian.
Yeah, she used to translate Dugan's works to English. And was very much, you know, very much involved with Dugan. So maybe Richard Spencer hates Russia so much now, per se, because he's so angry that he got divorced from his wife. So some people were saying, I don't know if it's true. I think Richard Spencer's a dirtbag, very much connected to the, you know, the right wing of the world order. You know, I mean, the National Policy Institute with Spencer? It was regularly funded. Regularly was very, very much part of the Council for National Policy. Regular family was. And American Security Council, if you go back through the Regnery family history and the John Birch Society, you know.
Okay. So. Well, I heard Richard, they called him a Duganist. And I had no idea who that was until, and now it's just like Dugan, how you're saying, he seems to like flip-flop on beliefs or like you're not, it's a kind of similar setup as Richard Spencer. He's like championing the NATO and Ukraine and these people that, like you said, to follow a leader, like they create these leaders, and if they're successful, they have enough of a group audience that will follow them whichever way they go, even if they switch beliefs. So it seems like, to my opinion, a lot of these people are created and platformed, just like you said, so you join this whatever team they want you to join.
Yeah, so Spencer's wife's name is Nina Koparanova. And she, you know, if you look into her divorce with Spencer, I mean, she made, you know, claims that he was violent and wanted to break her nose. And I don't know how much those things are substantiated, even though there were witnesses that claimed that he was that way, even though Richard Spencer denies it. And so, Richard Spencer, he's just, now you can't call him a Duganist because now he's for Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know? So he's like the opposite of what you can't call him a Duganist anymore. At one time you could call him a Duganist or you call him a Russophile, but he is not one now. So I don't know. I don't know how much of it it's something that we're always going to have trouble with is how much of it is how much of it is just psychological and spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, I mean, I one last thing I want to say is we have every right not to trust Russia. It's like we have every right not to trust any government, including our own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So why would anybody think that the Russian government is a safe haven for Caucasian Christian people or just people in general, or that the Russian media, RT, is telling more truth than CNN or Fox News? What? Because they talk about 9/11? Well, they didn't talk about Russians' involvement in 9/11. KGB's involvement in 9/11. Well, I guess it would be GRU's involvement in 9/11. But none of that, you know. I mean, Daniel Hopsicker's, you know, talked about the Russia connections to 9/11 and stuff like that.
I never heard about that.
You know, so I mean, you know, George and I from CavDev.org did a show about it on my channel. So what? RT's not going to talk about Russia's connections to the world order to 9/11? Of course they're not. You know, I mean, Russia today is, I mean, let's be real. Russia today is literally the, you know, is Russian, is the American, is the Russian American equivalent of Radio Free America.
Mm.
Radio Free America, CIA propaganda. Radio Free Europe, CIA, Radio Free, it's all CIA propaganda. Well, RT is Kremlin GRU propaganda.
Interesting.
So what? They tell you a little bit more of the truth, do they? Do they? You know? And a lot of it is to destabilize the United States. There's truth to that. You know, when they're painting America as being the singular boogeyman for 9/11, well, that's bull. Because Israel was involved, Switzerland was involved, elites, not the people.
Yeah.
So the elites of Israel were involved, elites of Switzerland were involved, the British Crown was involved, the Vatican was involved, the elite Russians were involved. Maybe if you could really track down some elite Chinese ties, I'm pretty sure they're there. You know, I mean, the Five Eyes country, you know, elites versions of them, you know, I mean, so, but for RT, it's America, 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 America bad. And it's like, well, yeah, the neocons and Project for New American Century, which half of it was CMP and half of it was CFR. Yeah, of course they should be all held guilty and should be put on trial. And George, you know, W. Bush, like mostly every other president, and Dick Cheney should be tried with war crimes, you know, but like, so should you, your elites too, you know, and so that's right. The problem. So.
Well, yeah, it's funny, dude, like Nick Fuentes and these people, they are all flocking to Russia. Is like, and I've heard him on debates, and he'll say stuff like, well, Russia won't attack me for being a nationalist or whatever. They support that, or that's like his excuse for the, you know, that you'd have more freedom there to be him than if he was in America. And that, and there is a lot of support behind that, dude. Like, I see the comments, as I'm sure you do too, on Twitter, mm-hmm. of how many people are backing Russia and Putin as this fighter against the NWO and fighting against all these bankers and stuff like that. And it blows my mind, because this, they have oligarchs there. You think that they are good oligarchs? Like, what? How do you make this justification in your brain? Because there, it's the similar situation. Maybe they're more nationalistic than America is. There maybe, but I don't know. I have no idea if they are or not.
And now as we discussed on my channel, when I told you to pick your favorite American oligarch, okay? and you know, Jesse Spots and Matthew North, may rest in peace. You know, we've all done shows on this. I mean, we do have our favorite. You know, brave New World Order of love and light, you know, oligarchs, you know, whether it's people think Elon Musk is going to save them, or Peter Thiel, or Mike Lindell, or Patrick Byrne, or whoever, you know, I mean, we have our oligarchs.
What's your take on Patrick Byrne?
He's running around with the Reawaken America tour and is connected with the grifter and liar Terpsichore Lederman.
Dude,
you know,
I
got a time machine. You know,
stolen
valor allegedly. What am I supposed to say?
He had that when he put that Shadowgate documentary out with what's the girl, Millie or something?
Millie Weaver, yes.
Yeah. The moment I looked at the people in that video, I was like, I wouldn't trust this guy to hold my wallet, dude. Like, what? You're gonna believe him? For whatever, and I didn't even watch the documentary because I literally didn't care. But I just wanted to find. I thought I saw you guys talking on Twitter before, I think, right? You were communicating back and forth or no?
With who?
Patrick Byrne.
No, I've never communicated.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys got, maybe it was somebody else was in like a debate with him, but.
It wasn't me. I don't think so. I don't think if I've tweeted at him, it was to call him out on his.
Yeah. I think that's what, maybe.
I don't remember. I mean, maybe you're remembering something. I mean, look, I have a photographic memory for facts, but I can't remember anything I've ever done in my entire life.
So you admit it, you have a photographic memory.
Well, I mean, for facts, possibly, yes, even though sometimes I get brain fog.
You're pretty close.
Just gut issues. So, but I can't remember anything I've ever done. Like, if someone asked me, remember the time you done that, you did talk about this on the stream? I'm like, huh? When? What? You know, so I did what? That's true. I can't even tell you. Okay. I can tell you what I had for dinner because I had it about 30 minutes ago, but I can't even tell you what I had for breakfast without really thinking about it.
So. But you are I'm always impressed, John, with your recall ability, because after I do a show, I don't forget it, but the majority of it I'll miss. I'll like remember a few key things, but you are able, that's why your shows are so good, because you can identify all these people that are current and what they belong to in the past. I mean, that's a valuable asset to have.
Well, I mean, we all have our strengths and weaknesses when it comes to, how we research and what we talk about and everything. And I have to commend you for how much that you read, man. Like, you read more than I do. Like, there's not even like a con. Like, I listen to a lot of stuff. I really don't like reading. Mm-hmm. I prefer listening. I can absorb a lot of information quite quickly listening. I've read a lot. Don't get me wrong. I can't do it how you do it, where you just. And I'm not saying that you haven't quit reading books. You have, and I've quit reading books too, where I'm just like, I can't do this. But man, you knock them back, man, book after book after book. And
the other topic, that was a beautiful compliment. Thank you, John. But I went on your Twitter and you retweeted something about Rumble. And was Rumble owned by Dave Rubin, or no, he owns something else, right?
It's owned by that shell company that's owned by True Social, the Trump Acquisition Corp. Let me get the actual name for it, but
I never heard, I mean, that makes sense that it's just a CIA or whatever, like creation, your honeypot to bring
it's
you
run
up.
By whatever True Social, the corp, it's run by. Damn. By. It's run by the corp that Trump, so your Trump confirms partnership with Rumble CF. And if you look at the stock for the acquisition corp, it's called pulls up here, CF Acquisition Corp. I don't remember exactly what the CF stands for. If you check when it got listed on stock market, all right,
yeah.
If you would invested in it right then and there, it went.
I remember.
It went crazy.
It went like from $8 to like 75.
It is, it's so insanely overvalued. Yeah. Okay. Right. It's ridiculous. There had to have been some sort of alleged money laundering going on to make it pump up like that, because it didn't even have a working product. True Social, which isn't even that great, wasn't even exist at the time. And they hadn't even purchased Rumble yet. I mean, the purchase of Rumble, you know, only happened a few months ago. You know, so Rumble is very much like, people always ask me, they're like, well, John, why don't you join Rumble? And I'm like, I'm not joining Trump's thing. What are you? I mean, like, I understand you. You could argue, why are you on YouTube? And I go, well, it's everybody's on YouTube and Twitter. It's just right there. Okay. Yeah. You know, and so, but I'm not going to willingly, you know, join Rumble. And besides, you get kicked off anyway. If I went in there, they've already changed it so that if anybody talks about Zionism or, right, you know, I would assume the CMP, or if I went in there was, you know, start talking about stuff that I talk about, or you, you know,
yes,
we get kicked off immediately. Right. You know, I mean, Libri, I did that show on Peter Thiel about the Hereticon, and I got decoupled off of the Libri blockchain because it just disappeared.
I didn't get no
notification or nothing. I had a friend who was watching it. And they left and they had to refresh or whatever. And they came back and it was gone. And they told me, they're like, hey, where's your video? I said, where's my video? And I went back and it was in the, like, 2 or 3 days later, the CEO of Libri went on the Alex Jones show. All right. So look, I'm here to say, as much as we already know, there is no safe platform out there that exists. There's no safe messaging app that exists. Right. I don't even know if it's really, truly safe if me and you left our phones in a car and walked 2 miles in the middle of the field and started talking. Okay.
Maybe it is.
Maybe that's just me afraid that their technology is that advanced and it really isn't. I don't know. I have to call out, you know, that too. But I mean, it's just the world that we live in. So yes. I didn't mean to cut you off about Rumble, but that's
no, that was my, I saw that you had something like that. I didn't know it was owned by Truth Social or Trump's company. That's like very ironic that that's who owns it. But I just saw your comment, and then there was someone about like Odyssey, and I'm on Odyssey. I don't know. Are you on? You're on Odyssey too, right?
Yeah, Libra. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It's called the same thing. So they just some people forget that Odyssey and Libra are one of the same thing. But yeah, I'm on there.
I was just want because you know like people championing like Rumble and things like and just like you said, I'm thankful that I have a platform that I guess won't kick me off. But do I believe that I could say whatever I want? No, not even for like self-censoring repercussions. I just don't believe that this will be allowed. Some, you know, there's certain things that they just don't, like you just said, how your show was taken off. I mean, off of a totally blockchain free.
It was taken off of YouTube too. Where I didn't even get a message that I got a strike or nothing. It was just gone.
Wow.
So I don't even know what that's about. All right.
Since we're talking blockchain, what is We've Read the Documents opinion on crypto?
It's a necessary evil, like the dollar.
Okay.
I'm invested in crypto. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be led to probably the mark of the beast in some sort of fashion, you know. But I mean, I had a friend tell me a long time ago. He held up a dollar to me, and this is before I invested in crypto or even thought about it, as many years ago. And he was like, look at this dollar. You know how much blood, you know, how much cocaine, you know, like how much pain has been through this dollar you hold in your wallet, you know? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you think twice about that? And I was like, no. And he was like, you think Bitcoin's the same way? And I was like, yeah. So, I mean, I look at crypto as a way that you can make money if you know what you're doing. You got to really study up and really analyze and really, you know, spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. And it's like trading anything, you know. I mean, most traders, you lose your money.
Right.
You know, I don't think that there's any crypto. I think there are probably some minor cryptocurrencies that are made that are just people like you and I that made a cryptocurrency that think they're doing a good job. You
right.
know? I think they're doing something, whether they're making a game or, you know, like there used to be this one coin I like called Poet where you could like, register your works on the blockchain and they could be secure, you know, like if you publish a blog on WordPress, but it kind of disappeared, you know. So I do think that there are, you know, cryptocurrencies that the average, you know, person makes or a team of people make that I think really they think they're doing good, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that I'm not going to hate on, you know, but obviously the major cryptocurrencies, I think Bitcoin was probably incubated and made through the help of the Central Intelligence.
No, it was made by an anonymous person,
in DARPA, and probably members of the PayPal mafia. I'm pretty sure Elon Musk or Peter Thiel had involvement in the creation of Bitcoin. And then, you know, you have XRP is definitely the world order coin. I mean, heck, that might be the B system currency is XRP, you know.
Why do you say that? I've seen the initials of that.
Because Teal Heavenly invested in it and funded it when it first came out back in early 2010s. And it was very, very pushed a lot in QAnon, the QAnon operation on 4chan. I mean, they called themselves the XRP army. They were shilling XRP. They still shill it to this day. And it's very much, I mean, they literally say it is the currency of the Nassar and Gassar. Like it will be the one world currency. That's what they say about XRP, you know? So I don't think they're lying about that. I mean, XRP is supposed to replace SWIFT. It's supposed to, I mean, the problems with Russia and SWIFT, right? And now they're talking about XRP is going to pick up that load, you know? So what am I supposed to think? So if XRP, you know, they win their case with the SEC, which it looks like that's what will end up happening, which will set a precedent for Libra to win their case with the SEC or either settle fairly or, win. And then XRP will be used by banking institutions around the world, likely, as, you know, kind of like the transfer currency of large payments, you know, and cross-border payments, you know, and so, I mean, Peter Thiel has another app called Reserve Rights, you know, they invested heavily in, and that could be the social credit score token. I really don't know.
Damn,
I mean, you know, I do think that the Mark of the Beast will be like some sort of cryptocurrency type aspect. And you know, so, I mean, if you want to invest in cryptocurrency, be very knowledgeable and aware of what you're doing. I would just don't, you know, start throwing money in, you know. I mean, I could come on here and say, you know, I would think you probably want to put some money here. You probably want to put some money here.
Yeah.
Not financial advice. I'd say you probably want a dollar cost average, probably in Ripple. Cause I put my money where the New World Order puts their money, because right, where they
good,
put their money,
a good rule to follow.
Now you have to get in and get out at the right time, cause they also could pull it, because yeah, the New World Order puts their money in and pulls it. So, you know, Ripple, Reserve Rights, Luna. No, I don't think Luna is backed really by the World Order, but I think it will be top 10. It is a top 10 coin, but I think it'll remain a top 10 coin.
I just asked because I've heard like different things about, and I have some crypto and I also have like some silver, but I just wanted your take on crypto, because I don't know where I stand. I have like a pretty have no opinion on a lot of things that some people are very passionate about, like crypto.
I mean, I think ultimately it's a bad thing.
Okay. Yeah.
But you can make some money on it.
Right.
Like making money in a stock market.
Right.
You know, mutual funds.
Yeah.
You know, trading commodities, trading currency, you know, and it could collapse at any time and you lose everything, you know, and who knows, you know. So I don't think it's ultimately a good thing, though.
Okay. I just was interesting, but I know you got to go, so I want to be prompt on time.
Well, real quick. Yeah. Where do you say you don't really like, where do you fall on it? Like,
I don't believe that. I think it's probably started as like a money laundering, just, you know, how they used to create the fake banks for the cocaine trafficking. Mm-hmm. Well, eventually they couldn't do that, so they needed a new way to funnel drug money. So an anonymous, kind-hearted soul who hated the dollar. That's why he was fighting back the system, created Bitcoin. He just wanted to help humanity, dude. That's what he wanted.
Well, there's a Twitter account out there that looks just at crypto called NFTs are just a way for the CIA to launder money.
I have to find that account. Oh, my God.
And so that account also might be the person talking to you right now, possibly. It might be their crypto account. Okay. But you know, just someone that I use to monitor crypto or shill crypto projects that I'm invested in. But, you know, I look at it the same way you do, where I'm pretty sure a lot of people in the conspiracy movement, they're like, Russ Ulbricht, he deserves to be free. You know, he didn't really do anything wrong with Silk Road and stuff like that. And I'm probably in the minority where I'm like, no, the dude was guilty of sin and they just had to find a scapegoat for somebody. And they said, pin on this dude. I mean, his mom was trying to get Alan Dershowitz to represent him. Okay. Like, she couldn't know that Alan Dershowitz is a scum as they come,
right?
You know, and to think that Russ Ulbricht, I don't know, a lot of people, like, they put him on a pedestal, man.
They,
you know, and I'm like, he didn't know anything that was happening in Silk Road. He didn't know the drug, you know, which he wouldn't really have a problem with the drug distribution per se, but he didn't know about the assassin for hire. You know, he didn't know about the child pornography and the sex slavery that was being sold there, you know, in Silk Road, the gun running, like, really, like, he runs the opera, you know, he runs the site, but didn't know any of this stuff was going on. His hands were clean, you know? I mean, really, we're really supposed to really think that a libertine like Russ Ulbricht, you know, I mean, Ulbricht, I can't swallow that.
Mm-hmm. Well, people die on that hill. Like, you, like, they love that. That's their first tweet. You know, Russ Ulbricht did nothing wrong in their pinned tweet.
I think he did. I really do.
Yeah.
I think he was just the fall guy.
What do you mean? Like, he was just the one they pinned it on, the whole creation of it or whatever.
Either because they wanted to move on to something else or he got too sloppy.
Hmm. Interesting.
He did the same thing with Lawrence E. King and the Franklin scandal.
That's absolutely. Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time they've done that. To have a patsy.
No. But I mean, can you really believe that Russ Ulbricht was running Silk Road, but just didn't know, you know, like, he had no idea. He had no.
Right. That playing. No, that doesn't fly in any way. There's no way. If he's this tech genius, that he's going to go on his own site and see what people are, doing.
Especially a site with the name Silk Road, right? You know, like at the bare minimum, there was illicit drugs being trafficked. You know, where does, how does illicit drugs get trafficked in the United States? Well, that would be primarily by the Central Intelligence Agency. So, you know,
that's
I mean,
great point, dude. That's even better point. Oh, yeah.
So just based off of that, like if you take away the murder for hire and the child pornography,
dude,
and all that, I mean, so him being like, I'm for all drugs being legal. And it's like, well, okay, we were not even going to talk about this, you know. The Bible, you know, talks about, you know, don't do pharmakia, you know, obviously, because it'll set you up to you know, possibly demonic possession if you're not saved, or demonic oppression if you are, you know, kind of communing with the spirit of Python, the spirit of divination when you're doing pharmakia, when you're smoking copious amount of pot or hitting DMT and seeing demons, which are pretty much the machine elves, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but just take that alone, you know. It's again, I guess I gotta go, but
yeah.
Drugs is a very controversial, you know, is a very, it's a very controversial topic, but yes. It's also a very, I'm not for the war on drugs, but I'm not for people doing what they will with drug and every drug be legal and people just get high all the time. Okay.
Because
people don't have enough agency.
They do not.
You know, they don't. All right.
And these are powerful. So,
yeah. So you gotta kind of find, I don't know if it'll ever be found. Like most of the time when we're talking politics, we're just talking about, well, I dream in my head, this is how it should be, you know, and we all know this is not going to be that way. Right. So you and I would probably, you know, I would assume you look at drugs probably the same way I do. I would assume.
I was addicted to it. So I agree. It should, if it's readily accessible, boy, you don't want to see that world that you're going to live in.
I mean, my dad used to say the same thing. I mean, my dad, you know, was a recovering heroin addict, you know, and he was like, I don't understand why all these people want all these drugs, you know, even marijuana or even alcohol, you know. He was like, you know, it'll lead you back into addiction or lead you to addiction. And a lot of people don't want to realize that gateway drugs really do exist. Once you start doing drugs, you're going to start doing other drugs.
They 100% exist because I went through it. So, but I know you got to go, John. Okay. I love talking to you. So, where do you want to plug your stuff or?
Yeah, sure. You can find me. We've read the documents. You can find me. We've_read on Twitter. You can find me fixyourgut.com for all your gut health needs from a Christian perspective. Thank you for having me on Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. As always, Jack, it's been a pleasure, brother. You and I and Odd Man need to do another round table
next week
or something. We can get something together.
I've
just been swamped this week, man. But I'm glad that I was able to come on here. Anytime you want me on, man, I should reach out to you too as well. If I, you know, need to fill in.
Anytime, dude.
Some time. We got to take care of our cats, though. Cat daddy.
Yes, that's right. John, thank you. Guys, thanks for watching.
Everybody.
We'll talk soon, everybody.
All right.
Take care.
All right, bye.